Second hour DDC here on this sunny Thursday. Derek McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. A lot of people thought our big announcement yesterday was about Buc-ee's coming to Rutherford County. Nope, it wasn't that at all. Or Crossville. Or Sevierville. Nope, that was not the big announcement yesterday during the 5 o'clock hour. It was one of this trio that joins us now, Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, 94.9 The Fan. Looking forward to being a part of the family here. Jonathan now joins us. Jay Hutt, what's up?
Gentlemen, good morning to you. Great to be on. Great to be a part of the Cromwell family with Outkick 360. And Darren, you're right. I did hear the Buc-ee's mentioned as the guesses for what the big announcement was. It was neck and neck with Caroline actually taking over Stillman and Company. That was the other big guess, and I would have voted that way instead of Buc-ee's.
Have you ever had a Buc-ee's experience?
I've only seen them, okay. And I'll be honest. I live in Rutherford County. I'm not that thrilled about it because I've seen the property layout. I mean, this thing looks like growing up, it was a big deal in McMinnville, Tennessee, that we were getting a super Walmart. Not a Walmart, a super Walmart.
Super Walmart, yeah.
And this is like your pit stop on steroids, based on like the concrete layout of this property.
So I described it yesterday as the Bash Brothers 80s/early 90s A's. That's on that's steroids. That type of steroids.
Except they're the Conseco. They're willing to admit it.
Oh,
right? Like that's
yes.
That's the difference. That's their attitude.
Yeah, they're not Rafael Palmeiro and say, "How dare you say that I was cheating?" Oh, wait a minute, I was cheating. But yeah, by the way, our text line was blowing up yesterday. The one that had me just in the floor and said somebody texted in and said it's like if Walmart and Pilot had a baby. And that's best describes it. It really does.
It becomes it's almost a destination stop. That's what I kind of roll my eyes out because Murfreesboro is getting this mega complex for soccer and baseball, which I'm all for.
Me too.
They're adding an amphitheater, which I don't know if that works or not with Ascend right up the road, but we'll see. That's cool. I'll go see some shows there. But the Buc-ee's is just that if you're going to or from Georgia, you're stopping in Murfreesboro. And now that becomes the next traffic jam that already is a long one.
The next parking
lot. Oh, there's traffic in Murfreesboro?
The next parking lot.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Maybe this will allow me to convince Claire to move. We'll see.
All right, let's go over some. By the way, you sound great. You sound like you're in studio with us. This is great.
I'm sitting in the 360 studio over here at 6th and Peabody. So we have a little button here that I can dial up you guys with Chase, and I'm like, hey, I'm actually here. Do you want me to go ahead and use the headset? And he said, sure.
So awesome.
Here we go.
Let's kind of go through some checklist of things we were talking about. In fact, let's just start with where we just were to wrap up the first hour, and you tell us if they're in the room with you or you're going to ask them to leave the room, okay, and shut the door behind them. Let's say the Titans are going to decide, come training camp, it's time to add a veteran wide receiver, okay? Like we need a low budget. We're calling this the TJ Maxx. I said Goodwill. Let's just stick with TJ Maxx. And there's nothing wrong with any of these stores. But let's just, the cheaper price is the bargain bin, okay? A veteran guy. Staying in the room with you or asking him to leave and shut the door, Will Fuller?
No, I'm asking him to leave.
Okay, asking him to leave.
And it's not based on what he can do on the field. It's his availability. He's not available enough for me to invest in as a guy. If I'm signing, let me preface all my answers and see if you guys agree. I'm signing a veteran. If I'm doing it now, I'm signing them to be active on game day.
Okay.
If I don't feel as though they're going to be active on game day or they're just competing for the back end of an active spot, one of my 48, I'm putting them on the 16-man practice squad because they're eligible for that again this year, and then I'm elevating them to be active on game day if I need to without the guaranteed money of the week one roster designation. So that's my business sense of it, and Will Fuller gets hurt way too much. He's only played 50% of his snaps, a little more than that, I think, since he entered the league. And I realize quarterbacks love him because of his speed. I love him on fantasy football when he's active, but he doesn't play enough for me to sign him.
Cole Beasley.
He's an interesting one because I would give him a workout because I think he provides a slot role that this team has been trying to find for quite some time. I realize they've drafted for that position this year, and I think they'll be okay. He's one that I'm storing away. I'm getting a look at in case of emergency. So I'm not telling him to leave the room, but I'm not necessarily signing him for training camp.
T.Y. Hilton.
This is...
It's not, I know.
I would say yes.
At least you didn't laugh.
I laughed. I would say yes, given the circumstances. So
really?
I need to know, if I'm bringing in T.Y. Hilton, I need to know the status of Robert Woods. If Robert Woods is legitimately full go week one, I don't think I need to sign T.Y. Hilton. And if he's not, if he's 75, 65%, I don't know what it will be. I think there could be a role for a veteran like that within this group that is someone you can count on to be a third or fourth option because I think the tight ends are going to play a much bigger role here. And mm-hmm. T.Y. Hilton fits that description more than he does the number one or number two. If they sign him, the reaction would be, oh, they just signed T.Y. Hilton.
Just because he's a name.
I'm not putting italics on that name anymore, right? It's a reliable resource for Ryan Tannehill, and they need some depth, and they need veteran depth.
Emmanuel Sanders.
I love his attitude. Is he 36? Is he
35? I think
he'll be maybe 36 by the time the season starts.
Oh, I love watching him play, and he's got that type of mentality that I think fits that coaching staff and the front office so well. He could do them a lot of good. And watching him when the Titans beat the Bills last year, he was on the bench. He was just staring straight ahead, and he watched as after the slip with Josh Allen and stuff. I mean, he stayed on that Monday night and watched all that, and I realized then, like, this guy's still in it, and he's looking for an opportunity to go win. He's been there and done that. He would be in the room with me. There are certain dudes in the league that I want on my roster if given the opportunity. He's one of them.
All right.
He's 35. He'll be 30.
Yeah.
He'll be 35 for the season. Yeah, just turned 35 in March.
And that's a one-year contract mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's not – and it's a risk. I mean, 35-year-old wide receiver versus where else they could turn to. And, you know, T.Y. Hilton's getting up there. Cole Beasley's over that. I mean, there's we're discussing a list right now that is not all that deep because of where we are in the offseason.
Yeah, no, we're not discussing the swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated, okay? There's no doubt about that. Nobody's on the cover.
This is not the who's who.
This is not the who's who. Okay, so we're going to go on and just unveil that name to finish this little exercise up. So, Willie, you get to hear this with Jonathan and our audience for the first time. So, Derek, I'm going to give you the honors because you're bringing this last name to the table. Is he in the room with you, or are you asking him to leave? And you may say, get the hell out. I don't know. You just go wherever you want to go.
I mean, the names that we said, and Jonathan, I do believe that Emmanuel Sanders, I mean, he would be a huge addition to this team if they were sort of looking his direction because he brings that veteran leadership, and he still can play. So I'm with you on that one. But here's the name.
Let's get a little drum roll.
Yeah, here's the name.
Do we have it, Elijah? A little drum roll on the fly? Here we go. What about this one? Hold on.
That if you take the leap, it would tremendously and quickly upgrade your room. It would upgrade your team. If you bring in Antonio Brown, now, it might be the biggest headache in the city, but he will tremendously upgrade your room as soon as he get here.
Antonio Brown, how do you feel about that?
Guys, prior to him joining Tampa, I was on board with him coming here. And by the way, he produced with Tampa Bay and it did some really good things. But, oh, man, I know. there are just – I mean, the on-the-field aspect of this is – very intriguing. I think most people would laugh D-Mace out of the room if you brought it. And I think for good reason, because they know the antics that go on behind the scene. Mm-hmm. But there is no doubt that guy can play. And is one of the best when it comes to playing the wide receiver position. But it's a no. I wouldn't bring that in to this group. A group, by the way, that feels like there is a window that if it's not closing, they're trying to lengthen the window by bringing in younger talent and implementing those pieces into the puzzle. Antonio Brown's not the guy that I want around that group as they try to do that.
Yeah, you're possibly right about that. But boy, oh boy, would he upgrade that room from a talent standpoint. And, you know, the Titans would go from, you know, being probably second fiddle to Indy to being back as the number one team in the South, AFC South. So, but I'm with you. It's probably too much of a headache with such a young team, with such a young room. Maybe if it was a veteran-led room, then possibly, but that room's too young. He has the potential.
Can you imagine the first real beef that he has with Ryan Tannehill for not getting the football?
Do you know how awesome Mike Vrabel's press conferences would be if Antonio Brown was here? Oh my gosh. We would stop all programming to play his pressers.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Hey, what's interesting about D-Mace, what you bring up with what he does to that room, Robert Woods, whenever he first signed or was traded, mentioned A.J. Brown being the guy that would drive him, speaking of Robert Woods, to bring out that competitive aspect to his leadership qualities and someone that's going to push him in the room on the field. And he was asked about that yesterday and said he needs Treylon Burks to be that guy now. I mean, there's no one else but Treylon Burks to provide that type of role that I believe Robert Woods would point to, which tells you what A.J. Brown meant to this team and how Robert Woods felt about playing with him in the offense. That I don't know if that guy's available on the free agent market, but you bring up the instant impact of, okay, here's a guy who's been there, done that. He's really the only name on the list. We could mention Emmanuel Sanders, and he would do some things too, but Antonio Brown's the only name on the list, but it's a wish upon a star because that's not happening.
Okay, do you have a couple minutes to wait through the break and come back with a couple more?
Absolutely. I'm here.
Willie, why don't you tell everybody about QC Kinetics?
All right, let's do that. QC Kinetics, as you know, the weather's warm and it's active time. We were talking about injuries earlier in the first hour. Well, hey, if you've had some joint pain that's hindering your ability to get out and do what you love to do, whether it's golf or hiking or fishing or swimming, hey, QC Kinetics has got a solution for you that maybe you have not looked into yet. Fantastic stuff. QC Kinetics is helping people get the fun back with advanced regenerative treatments. It's different. Local medical professionals provide this, and it's the hottest thing going. It's basically taking the growth factors with healing properties from your own body, concentrated, putting them back into your aching joints. And this helps your problem. It gets you back out there. It's exciting. It's in office. It's non-surgical. It can repair and restore damaged tissue in your joints. And it gives you real lasting relief from pain. It's the nation's leader in these cutting edge technologies. Okay. You've heard what you like. Take a look at it. You've got a free consultation available to you right now by calling the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics right now, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024.
More conversation. Jonathan Hutton, now kick 360. They'll be sliding into afternoons, 94.9 The Fan. Part of the family here. Back here on the DDC. D-Mace?
Yes. Jonathan, quickly, we were talking yesterday about Dylan Raitens and his availability, where he will play, right tackle, guard. I think it's very imperative, it's important that the Titans figure out if this guy can play or not. Because, again, if he's not the guy at right tackle or left guard, that would be basically almost another guy you whiffed on. Caleb Farley's not healthy. A.J. Brown is gone, who you drafted 2 or 3 years ago.
Yep.
Isaiah Wilson never set foot on the field. He's out of the NFL. So you have all these first and second rounders either are not on your team anymore or you don't know whether they can play or not. And Dylan Raitens is a guy that, to me, you should know if he's a right tackle by now or not? And it seems like the Titans doesn't know.
I feel like if he was the right tackle going into year two, they would just say it.
Exactly.
You know, and to me, he's a backup guard. I mean, that's how I've – I mean, last year, I don't know precisely the number, but there were games where he wasn't even active. I mean, he's the inactive offensive lineman, meaning they didn't even view him as a backup option. Now, I'll give him some credit. He stepped in against San Francisco at left tackle against Bosa and on that Thursday night football game, and it wasn't like he was an all-pro. He wouldn't have made a Pro Bowl or received a vote for the Pro Bowl. He did fine, though. Like, he held his own considering, I mean, he was someone that wasn't even seeing the field, except for the pre-warm-ups with when they bring out the practice squad guys and the quarterbacks and they want to get a look at a receiver, which is what they would do with Golden Tate. That's when we would see Dylan Raiden's workout at like 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And I thought he did fine. But moving forward, like, there has to be some progression to where they finally just say, here's where he's playing. And I don't get the sense they're close to that at all. In fact, I feel as though Petit Frere is closer to playing than Dylan Raiden's. Maybe I'm dead wrong. But every time they're asked about him, they give a very bland, generic answer, which means they're still trying to find and really pinpoint his role. Here's the problem, Mace. Mm-hmm. The problem is Taylor Lewan has not been available enough over the last 2.5 years. And if he continues that trend, what do they do at left tackle? And then where does that slot Dylan Raiden's across the offensive line? That's where the mess really begins to happen. And I know it may be a skipping record for some that have heard me say this over the last 2 years. And offensively, they have managed the offensive line well with injuries during COVID and everything else that went on last year. Arthur Smith and Todd Downing did a nice job offensively up front with how they managed injuries and maneuvered guys at positions. That being said, I don't think they're nearly as deep because they don't have Roger Saffold, who's going to play through literally any injury and be active for you on game day at left guard. And now that kind of churns the waters a bit to find out how they put the puzzle together if Lewan goes down, because he is a linchpin as much as people don't look at him in that way because we're looking into the future and thinking how much longer is he going to be here. He is a huge piece to their puzzle this year. That's why they kept him around, and that's why they need him available more than ever. He can't be missing chunks of like he has been in recent years, either due to suspension or due to injury. And some of that's not his fault. But what he can control, here's hoping he does control. Because you're right, there's not a position right now for Dylan Raiden's. And if you were a right tackle, they just come out and say he's the right tackle and he's battling for the position on the outside.
Yeah, you're right. And Taylor is still, to me, the best offensive lineman that the Titans have.
I think he's among their best athletes.
Exactly.
On the entire roster.
They're going to have to do something with this offensive line because it's not solidified. And people understand now that A.J. is gone, this team truly becomes one-dimensional with Derrick Henry. So they got to solidify that offensive line. And a guy that comes to mind is Dwayne Brown. I know that he's a veteran guy. I know he's been in the league a while, but he's a guy that can at least you can put on an offensive line and you know what you're going to get out of him. He may want the money that you don't want to pay him, but at least looking at him and the possibility of bringing him in.
Yeah, another piece on the O-line is not far-fetched. It comes down to how do they feel about Raiden's, which they've been very quiet on. How do they really feel about Petit Frere, which is something we're not going to know until the preseason games roll around, because that's really where they started to judge Dylan Raiden's a year ago, was the preseason. This time last year, Dylan Raiden's was moving around the offensive line, and we were hearing about how the coaches were just raving about how he took to coaching with technique and how he was really coming along from a small school. And that went to the side quickly. There will come a point where they have to make a decision on if they're moving forward with some of the young pieces, if Aaron Brewer is going to be their left guard, and if Ben Jones is – and by the way, he's a staple of the line too. But, again, he's had some injury concerns across the board. So who's your backup center? Who do you move to left guard? What happens at right tackle? And if you bring in a veteran, Dwayne Brown, what do you have the money and the resources to pull that off? Right now, they're very tight against the cap, even with the help of Julio Jones' contract being a post-June 1st designation.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. We're talking Titans. Hutt, I want to ask you your theory on the why here. We all know that Mike Vrabel, there's motive to his madness. I don't know if he just likes playing games with the media.
I think that's part
of it. So
that
could be your answer. But on the Treylon Burks, it just seems to me that there has to be a why. Because there, if he just gave an explanation, or Treylon gave an explanation about everything that people are asking about, it may turn into a non-story. Maybe there's no story to begin with. But the way that they evade and give real, you know, vague answers just has everybody wondering, right? So what's your theory is on the why there?
I think the why, if it's just strictly conditioning, the question I have, Willie, is why – so if he comes in just out of shape, normally, at least how I've perceived this, D-Mace, chime in, if you're out of shape, you don't go back on the field until you pass a conditioning test. Like if you have to check out because you're winded, you go into the bubble, and then every day you're testing out trying to get back onto the field. And it's not like the rookies are doing all that much once you get into those first couple of OTAs with the vets. It was all this is very peculiar because they don't. If it were something to do with severe, I'm just going through what the litany of things that people have just tried to figure out. If it's allergies, if it's asthma. If it was just over anxious or nerves or whatever, like you just state that and move on. And instead it's this, well, ask Coach Vrabel about the inhaler. And so they asked him and he kind of gave a non-answer. I think he's telling us without telling us. There are times I just wish he would tell us. And I think he knows that too. And so I do think part of it is just playing the game of, I told you when I was first hired, I'm never talking about injuries or medical issues whatsoever. And he's sticking to that. And he's telling all these new guys that come in, don't talk to the media about anything. Robert Woods was open about his recovery process when he was first signed and then quickly said, but we don't discuss anything when in regards to my timetable, when he was asked about the exact same timetable when he was available to the media recently. So I think that's part of it. But at the same, I would just try to eliminate any type of small noise that gains traction. This is the third straight week that we have discussed, we being as a group of people observing this team, we have discussed Treylon Burks and whether or not he's conditioned enough coming into the league. And then you have, on top of that, Albert Breer's report that teams were concerned about this prior to the draft. And while they would have drafted him, they removed him from the top tier of wide receivers because he was winded and laboring at some of these pre-draft workouts.
Who said that?
Albert Breer.
Well, you tell Albert that everything's fine with Treylon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
pass that along.
Oh, I just caught on what you did there, Darren. My bad. yes, I'll tell Albert Breer that in item number 7 of his 10 takeaways to, around the league, that there's nothing to this. And, let's throw a parade because he made it through an OTA practice. It's just it's beyond confusing, Willie, whenever every other rookie is able to make it through the practice. But this guy, sometimes, you just need to be acclimated. And I'm like, no, honestly, if you need to be acclimated, you don't come back out to practice until you're acclimated, generally.
Yeah. Mike Vrabel knows all of these things that we're talking about, but he is allowing this, this line of questioning to continue, and this speculation just has all kinds of things. Well, is it this? Well, maybe it's this. And he could quiet it down if he just maybe came clean a little bit more. But he knows he's choosing not to do that. That's what I'm just curious about.
Yes.
Why he's decided to go this way and not
and
just say here's what we're doing. We're dealing with right now.
I think we all agree here. We saw this guy play at Arkansas. He can play. He played well enough to put up some big time numbers in the SEC, but no matter how you view it, non-story, somewhat of a story, big story, it is something that you raise an eyebrow to and pay attention to going into training camp. Because if he weighed in at the combine at 225, and that's kind of the issue is where is he now and what will he play at? Well, it's something to monitor no matter how much they just kind of want to sweep it under the rug and say he made it through the recent practice.
June 13th is when it all begins, 94.9 The Fan. Jonathan, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be talking down the road here very soon.
Yeah, sounds great, guys. I'm looking forward to your chat with Dan Patrick coming up as well. And I'm excited to be a part of the lineup on 94.9 The Fan. Very grateful to everyone there, Chase, Dennis, of course, Bud. You guys have known about this for some time and have been very cool about it. We're thrilled to be back on in Nashville. We never left Nashville. And we left a business. We didn't leave radio. So we're pumped to be back on live radio in Nashville and beyond without Outkick 360. So thank you.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you so much. Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. You just heard it. June 13th, starting on 94.9 The Fan, our sister station. And, of course, they will be an afternoon drive. And as Jonathan just pointed out, yes, we will have Dan Patrick join us at high noon. So we're looking forward to that. In fact, Willie, I don't think we've ever talked with Dan Patrick. I don't think. I don't think over the years we've ever had him on.
I don't remember us having him.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had him on. So we will have him at noon today. Dave Neal at 12:30. So be a loaded third hour. We'll come back. A lot of people have weighed in on our text line about Antonio Brown. What are they saying? AB to the Titans. What do the fans think? Yes or no? I wonder what they said. All right, we'll talk about that next. Well, D-Mace went there. I had no idea where he was going, but he threw it out.
I told you it'd be a fire starter.
Would you want shirtless Antonio Brown here? Would he increase the visibility of the wide receiver room? Sure.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Would he send Mike Vrabel to Vanderbilt Hospital? Probably a lot for chest pains.
Yeah. He'd be taking Tums, I tell you that.
Oh, boy. Boy. Phil in Kentucky on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, a cancer that comes to play is still a cancer. No, 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 no on Antonio Brown.
Yeah. I mean, you listen. You throw the name out there because you know you will get reaction.
Mm-hmm.
His ability to play the game is that of a Hall of Famer. But the stuff, the antics that come with it is crybaby-ish.
Oh, I can think of other words.
Yeah.
Crybaby-ish.
I mean,
I think you cleaned it up.
Yeah,
you cleaned it up.
Yeah.
I got
just tantrum throwing. Just, you know.
Look, I felt like the Antonio Brown before the Jets game,
mm-hmm.
I thought was it had worked, right? Mm-hmm. It had worked. Now, I don't know behind the scenes what it was like, but it had worked. But once you've done everything that he's done and has the history and the folder mm-hmm. that he has, and then you add that during a game, to me, I don't care if you said, I guarantee you these stats, fill in the blank. I don't know how – I don't know – forget the Titans. I don't know how anybody is going to give him another chance because it's one thing to see how it all played out in Pittsburgh
mm-hmm.
with Facebook Live and all the stuff that went on there. Then we get to watch it play out on Hard Knocks with the Raiders
mm-hmm.
and how that all just blew up for all the wrong reasons. Then things stabilized
a bit.
In Tampa.
For a year.
And then all you know what breaks loose after they win the Super Bowl. And to me, the deal breaker where it is just off the table is I don't care how mad you are. I don't care what the circumstances are. There's no way someone – you lived it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way a player can literally get up off the bench and start walking on the playing surface – cutting corners, headed to the tunnel,
mm-hmm.
on the road, and take off your shirt and do jumping jacks and swinging around. I don't know what all he was doing. You cannot leave the playing field in the middle of a game like that. That just, to me, game over. Your career should be over.
But his talent
I know
outweighs. And, and I'm going to say this. Listen, whether you bring him in or not, it doesn't matter to me personally. But Titan fans, you want to win, right? And winning is the bottom line in this business. We've seen it across the board. Winning is the bottom line. Nothing else matters. If you want to win, you bring a guy like Antonio Brown on your team. And you manage him for a year like Tampa did. You manage him for a year. You give him a one-year deal. You manage it. And then if you get a Super Bowl, that's great. Then you can go about your business. Tampa did it when no one thought no one else would do it. After what he did to the Raiders, everyone was like, it's done for him. You know, well, New England, it's done for him. What happened? It's done. It's over with. Once Bill Belichick is done with you, you're done. Tom goes to Tampa. What happens? Tom said, we need this guy. In order to win a Super Bowl, I know we have Evans and we have, what's the other cat's name?
Godwin.
Mike Godwin. Evans, I know Chris, we got Godwin.
Yeah.
But we need Antonio Brown. We need that third receiver. And what did they do? They brought him in. They managed him. And what happened? They won a Super Bowl. I know this Tom Brady, though. Titans, if you want to win, you bring them in. Listen,
well,
for me, I don't care whether you bring him in or not. It doesn't matter to me. I know the headache that he will potentially bring. But if you say you want to win, Titan fans, Titans organization, if you want to get to the Super Bowl, Ryan Tannehill, if you want to get to the Super Bowl, I think you need to be in your coach's ear or your GM's ear saying, hey, listen, let's just talk to this guy, see where his head is at. Because now, he's going to upgrade your team. He will. The talent is there.
Let's give you what the latest has been. And this was just a couple of days ago. He said on his whatever this outlet he's got streaming, it says something like a fan-controlled football broadcast. Mm-hmm. He said he will not be playing in 2022. Now, I take that to mean nobody has called him.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's exactly.
You know, yeah,
that's
what I think that's what it is.
That was in May. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's basically come to grips. I don't know if he's working out and waiting for somebody to call. Like, that also kind of could mean I've stopped really training to be a player at this point. So that would be something you'd have to factor in if you even thought of it. So, Derek, I don't know if you're advocating for this. To me, the last straw, it's Brady, right? He betrayed Brady, the last guy that went to bat for him and said, I can bring this guy into the fold. I can get the most out of this guy. If there was anybody that could do it, it was him. And they did. It was worth it, right? They won a Super Bowl. And then the second year, he did what he did. So to me, that was kind of the last straw. It's like, he doesn't strike me as a Mike Vrabel kind of guy. Mike Vrabel won't take the flyer on.
You don't think so?
But Willie, he will upgrade your team. And listen, Tom got that 1 year out of him. And that's what Tom wanted. Like, we just need to win the Super Bowl. Listen, that's all we want. And they got that 1 year out of him. Now, the second year, I mean, it was more so he and the head coach. They bumped heads. I'm sure he didn't have a problem with Tom, even though he did say a few things, but then kind of, you know, backpedaled on him. Mm-hmm. But he never backpedaled on the head coach. So my thing is, again, I'm not advocating for him to come or not come. What I'm saying is I'm just being a realist
here. You're presenting
it. Yes, I'm being a realist here.
Okay.
Like, Titan fans, you want to win. This guy will upgrade your team. You lost the number one receiver. He will come in here, and he will be better than the guy that you lost. And that's no knock on AJ. I'm just talking about the production.
You still think he's better. That level of player at this stage of his career?
Yes, 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 he's still. Now, he's probably got a little bit more wackier, but the production is there.
He got more wackier?
That's a pretty scary thought. That's a pretty scary thought. Darren, I don't know. I mean,
he should have been in Space Jams.
When the Steelers basically said, we've had enough, we're going to move on, we're trading them, I did bring that. I brought this same kind of discussion up at that point. I thought at that point maybe, okay, you get him fairly cheap based on what he's done. and you take your shot. And then we saw what happened with the Raiders immediately. I felt dumb. You know, you could have gotten me on the freezing cold takes for saying, hey, the Titans ought to look into this. And then he gets to the Raiders, and then something's going on. He won't wear the right helmet, and he won't play, and that ends before it even gets started. And the Raiders are sitting there having given up assets to get him, and he never played for him. So I don't know. There's just too not worth the risk for me.
We'll come back. Chris in Memphis, hang with us. We'll come back and wrap up the second hour. We'll get your call and continue to react. Dan Patrick coming up at high noon here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC on this Thursday. Hope everybody's having a good day. We'll have some tickets to give away before we get out of here today. Let's bring in Chris, who's in Memphis, Tennessee. Chris, welcome in.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Yeah, I got a comment on this whole Antonio Brown thing. Mr. D-Mace, I have all the respect in the world for you.
Oh, there's a butt coming. There's a butt coming. Yep, yep.
But.
And you're absolutely right. There is a butt coming.
But you're out of your damn mind, D-Mace.
And you took the words right out of my mouth. D-Mace, you're crazy for this. I'm sorry. If you wanted a reaction, I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. The clip bait worked. The clip bait worked. It was – I fell right deep into the deep end. There is no way on God's green earth or even any other galaxy that I'm bringing in Antonio Brown to this team. What has Vrabel and J-Rob preached? Team first, guys. What part of team first does Antonio Brown represent? Absolutely none of it. He's burned bridges everywhere he's went. So basically, if he's burned bridges everywhere he went, what makes you think he's not going to burn the bridge here? As soon as he doesn't get the ball enough, he will complain saying, Ryan Tannehill, he ain't that good of a quarterback. I need the ball. Quit giving Derrick Henry the ball all the time and give it to me. I can take it there. I get it. He's got talent. He can play ball. But are you willing to deal with that ultimate cancer? I would take OBJ. I would take, if Jarvis Landry was still available, even though he has an issue with Tannehill, I would take those guys 10 times over before I even think of Antonio Brown. There is no way the Titans would even think of bringing him in.
Okay, Chris, hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. So Antonio Brown had 6 straight seasons of over 100 catches. Now, I'm not going to go there with 100 catches. Right. But what if I told you he's going to have 65 catches and 9 touchdowns next season? 65 catches and almost double-digit touchdowns for the Titans. Does that change anything?
No, sir, it does not. I get it. The stats would be great. But the cancer and the headache that you're going to have to deal with all year, is it really worth it? Is it really worth all the scrutiny that the team is going to be under? Because everybody's going to talk about it. You'll get attention, but it won't be the right attention. And again, he can have all the stats in the world, but he is going to be a major head case. If you thought the thing that was going on with A.J. Brown was bad, take that up times 100 with Antonio Brown. He'll burn a bridge eventually.
Okay, one more. This is my last pitch because I just got this text from Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. And he told me, Chris, he is a changed man, and he wants me to pass that along to you, that he is a changed man. He has learned his ways. He's learned from his old ways.
He's seen the errors of his ways.
The light. He's really seen the light is how he ends the text with me. I've seen the light. Does that change your mind?
If I see pigs fly.
They did have a movie where pigs were flying.
I like this guy. This guy is caller of the day right here. Pigs fly.
If H-E double hockey sticks freezes over, maybe I'll believe it. But as far as I remember, that place is still extremely hot. So it's not going to happen. He burned his bridge. He burned the bridge in Pittsburgh, Oakland, a little bit in New England, and in Tampa Bay. It would basically be legit genocide if he comes here.
Okay. I'm with him because here's the other piece of evidence I'll bring to the table is in the aftermath of the whole meltdown thing, his reaction was to go on this, you know, whatever this venue that he had, this outlet that he made public, and he surrounded himself with a bunch of yes men and basically proceeded to say, everybody else is to blame. I didn't do anything wrong. So the error of his ways thing that you just brought up, Darren, that just
so you don't believe he's a changed man. You don't believe that?
Hey Willie,
I think he told you. He said he's not a changed man.
Hey, but listen, this is what I'm going to say. And again, I'm not advocating either way.
I think when he said I've seen the light, I think he just opened the shades. Yeah. I don't think he really think
it was... just opened the shades.
But
Darren, behind you, you've got some shades. If you'd like to,
they're open.
We've actually seen the light in the studio. We've seen the light in the studio.
So I'm sure those were the same things that they were saying in New England. Don't bring them in. This is that yada 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 yada. Well, New England brought him in, and what he did wasn't anything on the field or wasn't anything regarding the team. What got him released was all legal. He was told not to contact this individual and he still contacted. So in New England was like, listen, we gotta let you go because you went outside of football and did something that you shouldn't have done in contacting someone that brought a case against you. So we don't want to be in. We just, the Hernandez thing just happened not too long ago. Yeah. So we can't deal with that. So they had to release him. It wasn't anything that he did on the field. It was off the field. So and I think that's why Tom Brady vouched for him in Tampa. Because he was like, listen, what he was doing on the field and in the locker room and in the meeting rooms was great. So now he goes to Tampa, and he's great the first year. Don't hear anything about him. He's productive. He's quiet. He's not starting. He's still quiet. And they win a Super Bowl. The second year, he and the head coach get into it for whatever reason, and everything just blows up. Again, I'm saying, Titan fans, if you want to win, we've seen it before. If your talent outweighs your problems. So don't just think, there's been a bunch of head cases out there that teams have dealt with and will continue to deal with because they want to win. You just lost the number one guy. You can quickly replace him with an Antonio Brown. Again, I'm not saying bring him in or don't bring him in. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just giving an argument. I know what the argument. Yeah. I can make the argument for not bringing him. That's easy.
Right. That's an easy
argument.
You're giving the tougher argument.
Exactly.
And the other part of your argument, D-Mace, is that list that we went over of the TBDs, the available veteran wide receivers.
He will outplay all of them 50 times.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not even close. Like, it's those guys, we're scraping together a list of people that might be able to help you a little bit. And it's Hutton pointed out a really good point. This guy's got the guy has to be good enough to be a guy you're going to put in every week and not maybe we can use him, maybe not. Like, it's not a special teams guy.
He needs to be
and
active on Sundays.
He's got to be active and a guy that's going to play a role. He's got to be that good.
Yeah, JD on our text line says he would rather you come back, D-Mace, than the Titans sign AB.
Oh, man.
What do you think about that?
Cue the Rocky music.
Would you be
cue it up?
Would you be active on Sundays? Could you make it through the week to be active on Sundays?
If I'm practicing half the time, well, they really don't. I mean, that's what
they're doing. They don't really practice much.
But no, I'm not going to say, no, man. No, I'm not. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and be, you know, that arrogant to say, yeah, I can go out there. No, I can't. Yeah, I can go out there. Yes, I can actually physically go out there. But if they ask me to run more than like three plays, then we got a problem.
With that attitude, they do.
Yeah, we got a problem. I try, but I'm just forewarning you.
Well, what if they have a there big bowl of snacks on the sidelines?
Oh, we good, Dan. We good.
D-Mace is like, I got tons of energy.
Give me some little Debbie cakes.
Oh boy. But wait for the sugar crash. Wait for it.
Fueled by oatmeal cream pies.
There's Mason. The sugar is wearing off. You talking about Treylon Burks going in? Oh, I'll be going in a lot.
Would you take your shirt off on the sidelines?
I think I can still take my shirt off.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. During practice, not in
game.
No.
Okay, during practice. Viking Matt on our text line says they're better off bringing T.O. back. Oh.
T.O. probably can still play at 40.
Could he?
40. Well, T.O., 48, 49, he's somewhere around there.
Yeah, how old is T.O.? He's got to be mid-40s.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, T.O.'s in his mid to late 40s, I think. Yeah.
Not late 40s.
I'm 48, so T.O. has to be 48. Somewhere around there, 47. He came in before me, so he has to be 48, 47. 48, 49, somewhere around there.
I'm going to say no on T.O. I think he's made. Ask Willie. Do you think that's too old, Willie?
He's 48.
He's 48, see?
48.
And he's not a Tom Brady 48.
Like, hey, guys.
Or LeBron James.
He's 31, okay? Keep that in mind. He's 31. Glue factory? He's 31. 31, guys.
Oh, yeah, Willie threw him out early.
Oh, 48. He's like, dude, he's position. Worm food.
Depends on the position.
Seal up the coffin. He's dead. He's 48.
Yeah, Willie like, oh, you 30? Oh, you're done.
Get out of here, you senior. Go eat dinner. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. All right, we'll come back. Dan Patrick to begin the third hour. That's next.